Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our midweek meditation, where we explore the subject of covenants and what this means for us today, and this is part 5. Let's pray. God of all creation, we ask that you would lead us by your Holy Spirit as we look at your word and try to understand it as you would have us to. Help us to live our lives in the light of it, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen. Our reading for today is from the book of Exodus, chapter 24, from verse 1 to verse 8, and I'm reading from the NIV. Then he, that is God, said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. You are to worship at a distance, but Moses alone is to approach the Lord. The others must not come near, and the people may not come up with him." When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls, and the other half he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey." Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. Today, part 5 has to do with a covenant that was established under Moses, known as the Mosaic Covenant. However, some prefer to call it the Sinai Covenant, since the covenant was instituted at the foot of Mount Sinai. Author O.P. Robertson calls it the Covenant of Law. But before we continue, let us first revisit the covenant of promise that we dealt with last time, since it is relevant to our discussion. It began with God's call to Abraham, a call which separated him from his father's household, to go on a journey to an unknown land, a call that would require a response of faith. And so it is that God continues to fulfill his promise to Abraham, bringing people from all walks of life, from every tribe, language group, and nation into his kingdom. Now in part 5, we are taken one step closer to the realization of God's bigger picture, as I've just mentioned, as we consider the covenant of law, the Mosaic Covenant. First, let's look at what is essential in this covenant. In our reading, we saw that in verse 3, when Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." And again in verse 7, "Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, 'We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey.'" Our first thought when we consider the covenant is that it is about laws, specifically the 10 words or 10 commandments, given to Moses by God on stone tablets. These were the words that the people of Israel were responding to. However, while the law plays an extremely significant role, covenant supersedes law, meaning that the law is not the dominant thing here, it is covenant. The reason being that, historically, the nation of Israel were in covenant relationship with God through Abraham. This is why the Exodus story begins with the words, "God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob," and this is in Exodus chapter 2, verse 24. This is essential to understanding the covenant of law, because the laws come into being on the basis of covenant, which means that obedience to the laws, even though they may be part of what appeared on those tablets of stone, did not automatically admit one to covenant with God. For the words of the law were spoken on the basis of covenant with Israel, and they were laws or instructions as to how Israel would live as a people in covenant with God. This essentially removed them from the cultural environment of the day, so that they were set apart from the rest of the nations, which is what being holy really means. They were not like the rest of the world, but exclusively a people dedicated to God and in His service. This brings us to the next point, the administration of this bond, this covenant. You will recall that a biblical covenant is a bond in blood, sovereignly administered by God. We saw in our reading that this was indeed a bond in blood, as young bulls were killed and sacrificed, and some of their blood was used in the covenant ceremony. But the law, which the people declared their commitment to, comes as one mode of the administration of the bond. What makes this covenant very different or distinctive is that while in all the previous covenantal relationships established with Adam, with Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, here, under Moses, God provides an externalized summation of His will, the terms of the covenant, expanded upon like never before. No doubt, those who preceded Moses were aware of God's will in general terms, but now a full summary of God's will was made explicit through the physical inscribing of the law on two tablets of stone. These 10 words, as they were called, were clearly identified with the covenant, for in Exodus chapter 34 verse 28 we read that Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the 10 commandments. And again in Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 13, the Israelites are reminded, "He declared to you His covenant, the 10 commandments, which He commanded you to follow, and then wrote them on 2 stone tablets. And finally, in Deuteronomy chapter 9 verse 11, again Moses speaking says, "At the end of the 40 days and 40 nights, the Lord gave me the 2 stone tablets, the tablets of the covenant." Thus, the 10 commandments constitute God's will as part of the covenant, and the fact that the law is engraved on 2 tablets, in summary, says something very important, namely, that a law has been written, a will has been decreed, but this law stands outside man, demanding conformity. As such, they were not invited to offer personal opinion, personal conviction, and personal feeling on the matter. Since the covenant was sovereignly administered by God, initiated by Him and on His terms, for Israel's part, simple acceptance was required. Ultimately, this law written on tablets stood as a law addressing humanity in its sinful condition, for no one was able to perfectly obey it all the time. Consequently, there was no entering into God's presence on the strength of obedience to the law. To drive this point home, God prescribed a substitutionary sacrificial system within the legal provisions of the Mosaic covenant, which made it painfully clear that obedience of the law for righteousness and salvation was an impossibility. And, if it were possible, the covenant of promise entered into with Abraham would have been suspended or done away with. But it was not. Even Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, understood this, for in Galatians chapter 3, verse 17 to 18, he says, "The law, introduced 430 years later, does not set aside the covenant previously established by God, that is, with Abraham, and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance, covenanted with Abraham, depends on the law, then it no longer depends on a promise. But God, in His grace, gave it, that is, the inheritance, to Abraham through a promise." The point that is being made is this: the covenant of law, the Mosaic covenant, did not offer a temporary alternative to the covenant of promise instituted with Abraham. This is very important to know. The covenant of law did not somehow, as is the view of some, run alongside the covenant of promise as an alternative method of salvation, so that Jewish people have one means of salvation and the rest of the world, the Gentiles, the church, has another means of salvation. This is completely unbiblical. Instead, the covenant of promise remains intact. For the principle pronounced in Genesis 15 verse 7 concerning the justification of Abraham by faith has never been annulled. Throughout the Mosaic covenant period, God considered as righteous everyone who believed in him. That was the basis of salvation, to practice the covenant of promise, or the Mosaic covenant, trusting God at the same time for salvation through it. And, as we shall see, this principle is still fundamental under Jesus Christ. For, when Jesus instituted the new covenant, the old covenant of law was laid to rest, or set aside, while the covenant of promise to Abraham continued to be in operation. And this we will deal with later. As we end then, we need to note that the law or commands, which is God's will explicitly revealed by physically inscribing his words on the tablets, is not an appendix attached to the Mosaic covenant for us to simply note. It is still important for us today. The law, God's will, which is not done away with, still demands conformity, but now under the guidance of the new covenant. I hope then that this has been very helpful for you and that you will join me again for part 6. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you know the end from the beginning and all things are in your hand. We praise you for your faithfulness in keeping covenant with all those who belong to you. Help us to be your set-apart people so that others may come to know you. In Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.